Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me is my co-host, NFL draft analyst, Ryan Roberts. Today we're talking two of the top tight ends in the 2025. God, I forget what year it is these days. 2025 NFL draft.
Well, summer scouting. Well, it is the year 2024. I mean, so you're not completely wrong, but yeah.
I should be better than that. Colston Loveland from Michigan. Jake Brenningstuhl from Clemson. Not a guy that's in that top conversation, but you and I are very high on him, so we're going to be breaking down both of these guys on today's episode. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so already and drop a comment. Let us know what you think about these two players. Colston Loveland, though, Ryan, has been an early darling of the class, a guy that has been brought up, I think, pretty collectively as a elite prospect, not going to be on that same trajectory as Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is in a completely different generational bucket that we're not going to touch here with Colston Loveland. Background that you got on this kid, I know he's from Iowa, so he's got a very unique background where he's coming from.
Incorrect. Idaho. Yeah. It's funny, man. I think we're starting to see more Idaho players start to pop up a little bit. There was Gatlin Bear in the 2024 class, the wide receiver that I think ended up flipping to Oregon. He was originally committed to Boise State. He was a top 100 kid. Colston Loveland was a Gooding, Idaho kid who... It's funny. I actually went back and watched some of his huddle highlights, Joe. He played linebacker. He played wide receiver. Like, he's just kind of that dual threat kid. He was also a very, very good basketball player at Gooding as well. Set program records his senior year, 91 receptions. He had 19 catches in one football game as a senior. 19. That's just an absolutely ridiculous number. Had over 3,000 yards receiving, 35 touchdowns. Again, was a really standout linebacker for the team as well. Recruiting rankings were a little bit split on him. There were two with four-star rankings. I think 247 Sports had a four-star ranking, and I believe also On3 had a four-star ranking. So ESPN and 247 Sports, or actually, no, I'm sorry, 247 had one. So it'd be Rivals and ESPN had three-star rankings on him, but he was the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Idaho, in a state that doesn't produce a ton of talent up until this point, but obviously Colston Loveland is the next big thing. He also has a brother that plays NAIA football, for what it's worth, and he's only 20 years old, so he'll be
young
just
cat.
Turning... will just be turning 21 years old in draft season. He's an April 9th, 2004 kid. So he'll be 21 when he's drafted this year.
So the thing that's going to get hyped up with him and why he leads the pack right now, I think, for most tight ends, height, weight, speed, very, very rare combination that we're going to get with a kid like this. To get it out of the way, not much of a blocker. I think he's willing, but not really going to be a guy that's going to scoop you out, drive you out. They had AJ Barner for that. So they don't need Colston Loveland to do much blocking.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we haven't talked about Colston Loveland other than just him being really smooth and being able to get in and out of his breaks really well. But yeah, man, the blocking did leave a lot to be desired, did it not? Like, it's not a situation, because he's pretty good on screens. Like, they use him obviously split out a lot, and he's able to, you know, do a good work there, being able to stay attached in space. But as a inline guy, it's kind of lackluster right now. Like, it's just very average to below average. I mean, again, he gets his body in proper positioning, but he just doesn't have incredible power in his frame for now, right now. And it could be because we're talking about a kid that was just a true sophomore last year, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see if the power profile takes a step forward. He obviously has the frame. I mean, he's listed at 6'5", 245 pounds. So he has the frame to be able to play a lot more in line and be effective in line. But you are drafting this kid because this kid is about as clean of an athlete in and out of breaks as you are going to find, man. He has some high upside as a route runner because he is just a kid that has incredibly flexible hips, able to get in and out of cuts very well. I mean, whether he's matched up in the slot against a linebacker, safety, or corner, he can create separation, man, because he's just really clean on those transitions. Straight line speed is good. He has the ability to play above the rim, and he's got some after catch ability to him, man. So his explosiveness, there is flexibility, there is big time upside as a route runner. I mean, I think, Joe, that you could line this kid up in line, obviously, as a wing, detached, play him in the slot, play him out wide at times. And I think he can win as a route runner, man. I was really impressed with the route running chops that this kid brings to the table.
Yeah, we're drafting this player as a receiver. We're not drafting him to be an all-round, well-rounded type of a kid. This isn't a TJ Hockenson. This isn't going to be somebody who steps in with a general profile. And I mean, even Brock Bowers was somebody who fell into this capability to do both things at a quality of enough level that you could know that he will provide some juice in the run game. But you hit the nail on the head there. Long speed's tremendous. I was really impressed with how easily he moves in and out of his cuts, like you talked about. Like, him moving in and out on his routes is what allows him to create such easy separation against a lot of linebackers and some safeties that are not as fast as him. I think that this is a guy who's probably going to run in the 4.5s, 4.6s at the NFL Combine. He's very, very clean linearly, and he accelerates very, very easily. First-round pick, man. Like, I don't think that there is much reason to overthink this. Right. I understand that you would desire for him to be a better blocker if you're going to take a prospect of his caliber in the first round, but I've got a late first round grade on him, early second right now on him, and he could be a day one high impact player because of how good he is as a receiver.
I have a similar grade. I have in a vacuum a high second on him, 7.8 on my scale. But anyone that knows just kind of how these preseason rankings work, I mean, there's a little bit of a give and take either way there, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a late first, early second round player right now. And that isn't even counting the progression he could have in 2024, which we're anticipating him having. Top 20 player in this class for me right now, Joe, was just kind of looking through my big board that I have assembled so far. Top 20 player. I think this kid's just very clean as a wide receiver prospect. Like, he extends, he plucks, he runs great routes. He's a good athlete. I mean, we're talking about a kid that as a pass catching weapon in the passing game, it's just kind of easy, right? It's kind of easy. Yes, I would want him to be a little bit more of a proficient blocker. I'm interested to see what that looks like this year because, I mean, Michigan tight ends have blocked over the last couple years. I mean, you talked about AJ Barner. I mean, I even talk about like Eric All that they had before. Like, they've had some guys that had no issue blocking in the running game. So can he take a step forward because his head coach is Sharon Moore, who is a offensive line coach. So clearly he values blocking and they do a lot of it because they run the ball at a very high tick. But I think that this young man is my tight end one right now. I do think that there is a tight end or two that could be at least in the conversation if they have massive rises, but I do think he's the clear tight end one right now. If not for Brock Bowers playing college football last year, even though he was limited in some capacities, Colson Loveland was the best tight end in college football other than Brock Bowers when he played last year. So clear evaluation, young player, very high upside player, and I think you hit one nail on the head that I think that this is a kid that's probably going to run 4.6 flat, give or take a couple hundredths of a second there, right? Like, this is probably a 4.58 to 4.62 type of athlete. But again, the most impressive part is that this isn't just a straight line athlete. This is a kid that can get in and out of breaks. This is a kid that can run routes. I can utilize him in a lot of different capacities and a lot of different usages and a lot of different roles at the next level. And I think he'll be very, very tough to stop in any of them.
Right. It's not easy to find these big tight ends. And he's a big kid. He's listed at 245. That's a huge, huge frame. A lot of weight. Yeah. Go ahead.
Can I say one? Here's my take on Colson Loveland. This is going to cause some uproar for some people. Okay. This is who I believe that people tried to make Dalton Kincaid. Okay. And Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to go back on Dalton Kincaid, man. Like,
But when I say the description here, a guy that is a detached or detached problem maker in the passing game because of how fluid and athletic he is and how quickly he accelerates out of his breaks. That's what we tried to make Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid was pretty solid as a rookie. Like, he did a good job. I didn't dislike Dalton Kincaid as a player. What I'm saying is that if you liked Dalton Kincaid, maybe this is a better way to phrase it. If you liked Dalton Kincaid in the 2023 NFL draft, you should love Colston Loveland because they are similar-ish players as far as how they function.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Burning Stool, Clemson tight end. He was somebody who you put on the radar. There's a lot of other names that have been tossed into the ring for this tight end class. There is a lot of figuring out that needs to be done with the tight end group. I think it's an underrated class at tight end, and Burning Stool is one of those names that fits into that underrated description. Listed at 6'6", 230 pounds at Clemson this past year, was one of their top leading receivers. I would assume that his role is only going to get bigger, knowing that they're trying to do more offensively. They didn't really bring in many receiving options. If anything, they lost one of their receiving options in Bo Collins, who left to go to Notre Dame. So as they're trying to navigate that situation, you've got this kid who's built to just be a big body receiver, very similar to Loveland, not a very good blocker, which we'll get to in a second, but quick background on him before we break him down.
So he's a consensus four-star kid. He was ranked as a top 71 player by multiple platforms. He's a Brentwood, Tennessee kid. He went to Ravenwood High School. Actually, it was an interesting note that I saw in his bio. So he, that year, I don't know who the other player was, but Clemson had signed two players from the state of Tennessee that year. Only the second time that's ever happened in one cycle that Clemson signed two Tennessee players. The other time, 2017, pretty good duo here, Joe. They signed T. Higgins and Amari Rodgers that year out of Tennessee. Mm. So pretty good company, to say the least. Finalist for Tennessee, 6A player of the year, dynamic player coming out of high school, four-star recruits. Everybody wanted him. He is going to be turning 22 years old in December. So we're talking about a true senior here. So he'll be 23 at the tail end of his rookie year next season. So pretty basic background though, man. High caliber recruit, consensus four-star by everybody.
Him as a prospect, as I mentioned with the blocking stuff, worse blocker than Colston Loveland, in my opinion, which doesn't surprise me.
I don't think
that he did anything for me as a blocker because he doesn't have the lower body strength to like really move anybody.
I'm going
to
send you a clip.
We're all over the place.
I'm going to send you a clip right now.
I don't know. Go ahead, send it. I mean, I just don't really get where anything comes with the blocking aspect of things. But to talk about him as a receiver, he's almost the light version of Colston Loveland. He's not as good of an athlete, but he's a good athlete. He is another player who, in his route running, doesn't lose much speed when he's transitioning and moving on his cuts. Mm-hmm. Tends to round his routes a little bit. So this isn't like a very precise route runner receiver that's going to be making these quick, clean transitions to get open. But what does really help him is the long speed. There were times like the Miami game, he was running past Cam Kitchens, which makes me think, is this a high 4.5 guy? Because Kitchens was a 4.6 guy at the combine. Is he just a little bit faster than him? Is he going to run a ridiculous 40 time? He is somebody who is just going to be a really consistent option. Maybe not like the lead target within an offense, but just a really consistent option for a team as a primary or even just a really good secondary tight end, depending on how many tight ends an offense likes to run. But God, he can move. And I think that the receiving impact he could provide for a team would be very significant, potentially very early on. And as you mentioned, older rookie when he jumps into the league.
You are a hater, dude. Absolute.
What are you talking about?
Oh man, watch that clip I just sent you. Tell me this kid can't block.
Poor blocking effort.
Yeah. Show it to me, dude. Show it to me. I want to hear your reaction when you see.
You sent me a play of him catching a pass against.
Oh really?
You sent me.
Did I send the wrong one? Dang it! I sent the wrong one. Dang.
Attaway.
Wait. No. I'm gonna find it. Wait. Here it is. I'm sorry. I think I just made both these clips it was not a very good job of me.
Yeah, nice job
labeling. But Joe, as you watch that, because I want to hear your reaction after I sent this other one to you. I literally just sent it. I think, dude. There, every single year, you watch a kid.
He just slams into him. What are you talking about? This doesn't require any skill.
He pile drive them, dude. What are we talking about? What are you talking about?
Sure, I mean that's a good.
What? Joe, he's 230 pounds. He's 230 pounds.
He runs full speed into him and just knocks him over. Okay, I'm not saying that that's unimpressive. It's a good block, but like the rest of his film is littered with him taking bad angles. Right. He's not driving his legs in this clip. Mike's point still stands. Right. He doesn't drive his legs. Okay. He doesn't have good lower body power. Right. This is a good hit. He's physical. I didn't say he wasn't willing.
Let me restart this. Stop yelling. Let me restart this conversation.
Come into the conversation telling me I'm wrong. I will start yelling with the best of them.
6'5" plus 230 pounds. So he is a lightly built player right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you in the sense of, is he a kid that I'm playing in line all the time right now? No, absolutely not. That would be a disservice to his skill set because he's 230 pounds. He needs to put on a good 10 to 15 pounds on his frame. The good news is that he has a frame that I look at it with broad shoulders, you know, pretty wide lower half. Like I say that I think that he can add a decent amount of weight. I don't think that objective will be hard for him. Okay. So I think that he'll be able to gain the weights. I think that that'll happen, Joe, but there's effort in the run game. There's moments in the run game that give me excitement. Yeah. Okay. But again, I'm not drafting this kid right now to be an inline blocker and to specialize in that. I would get AJ Barner if I wanted that this past cycle. Like that's what I want. Cool. Yeah.
That wasn't my point.
I am drafting this kid because this kid is long. His arms are long, dude. He can win above the rim. There's no doubt about it. I don't even know if he has a basketball background, but I would not be shocked if he has a basketball background because he's got incredible reach. This kid, though, is super athletic, man. Super athletic. I actually think that he might be faster in a straight line than...
Well, he's 15 pounds lighter, so that's likely he's faster than Colston Loveland.
But he has the ability to take the top off the defense. He's very deceptive with his routes. He doesn't show what he's going to run. I don't think he's as flexible as Loveland is out of the breaks, but I think he's deceptive out of his breaks. Mm-hmm. I've seen him win after the catch. I've seen him win as a route runner. I've seen him win down the field. I've seen him win with his size as well. Again, he can extend and win above the rim. If this kid can play 10 pounds heavier and utilize it correctly as a senior, I think that he could challenge to be one of the top two tight ends drafted into the 2025 NFL draft. This is a kid that I am pounding the table for early that I think this could be tight end two right now. And we'll see if he takes a huge ascension, then we'll have a deeper conversation about where he just potentially fits in this class. But I was very happy to see Joe. I know I sent you these grades. I felt like I was the only one talking about Jake Brenningstuhl, okay? And preseason spring grades from the NFL doesn't always matter, right? Because we've seen some bad Blesto grades where you're just like, that's stupid. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But I was happy to see Blesto had good grade on him, and also NFS, I think, had a second round grade on Jake Brenningstool. So sounds like there's some people in the NFL, at least currently, that do like Jake Brenningstool for the role he potentially plays on the next level. I think this kid has the length, athleticism, similar to what I was talking about with Loveland, to be a mismatch weapon. And I hate, can I say this? Because I know you've talked about Garrett Riley in the past, and I've busted your stones about this, but I know you're not as high on him this offseason as you were last year, okay?
Okay.
I hated how they used him in this offense. Hated how they used him in the offense.
Yeah, it wasn't
great.
They
didn't feature Joe. Look, his stats are the most bizarre thing ever. He had, so real quick, he had 5 catches for 126 yards and 2 touchdowns against Miami. 5 for 126 and 2 touchdowns. The next week against NC State, he had 8 receptions for 93 yards. And then he had another game against Kentucky, who has a good defense, by the way, had 9 catches for 91 yards against them. In those 3 games, 126, 93, 91. The rest of the year, dude, 1 catch for 10 yards against Duke. 3 for 15 against Charleston Southern, 3 for 18 against Florida Atlantic, 2 for 13 against Notre Dame.
I think a little bit of that too is Klubnik had a lot of bad throws to him.
1 for 3 against South Carolina. I think the offense was disgusting last year. I don't think Cade Klubnik is a very good quarterback at all. It was gross how they used
We don't need to get into the philosophy, offensive philosophy, because I think a lot more of that had to do with Dabo's influence of the decision.
I mean, that's still a philosophy. Either way, I'm not throwing the full shade at Garrett Riley. I'm saying the offense.
Most of it goes on Dabo gross. For me.
Gross.
To throw a grade on him, I had a mid to late second on him.
Are you kidding me?
Why is that bad grade?
I felt like just having the conversation that we were so far apart on this player. I literally have a mid second on him as well.
It's never far to me. Apart.
It's shocking just a little to more, me. Joe, as we were talking, I was like, wow, I'm a lot higher on Jake Brenningstool than Joe. And we have like identical grade, which is just hilarious.
Yeah, but the only difference that happened here is that I didn't let him a play where he was able to pick up speed and ram himself into a defensive end. I didn't let that get me overhyped about his blocking capabilities.
Okay.
Good, Joe. Okay. I like Jake Brenningstool. Folks, let us know in the comments what you think about these two prospects. Hit the subscribe button at Joe DeLeon, at Rise and Draft, at NFL Prospect Pod. We'll be back with more. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.